Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Sarah Barker with the Independent Home Care Alliance. And today for IHCA Member Moments, we have Mark and Carrie from Promise Care. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Sarah.
Our pleasure.
Wonderful. Well, why don't we just jump in? We'll start, Mark, please tell us the geographic territory that you guys service. And then I would like for each of you to share about your backgrounds.
You bet. Yeah. So we serve the entire Twin Cities, but primarily in Twin Cities being Minneapolis, St. Paul, for those of you, I know there's other Twin Cities out there, but primarily though, we really focus on what's called the Southwest Metro of Minneapolis. That's where the bulk of our clients end up. And that's where we get most of our referrals from.
Wonderful. And what is your background, Mark?
It's everything. I'm a serialpreneur. And so I basically, I like to, in lieu of COVID, which is very serious, I say I'm the CDC, which is Chief Dot Connector. So I literally take Carrie's vision and try to apply that into actionable steps to accomplish that, those visions and goals. And I do that by utilizing the best and highest purpose for each person in our organization. I try to make sure that we're utilizing their strengths, getting their ideas, and then with that, taking it from other people, we connect that and we execute on a plan.
You know what? I'm glad that you just shared that with us because we will be diving deeper into that. Carrie, would you please share with the audience what your background is?
My background is I've always wanted to be a problem solver. And I think at heart, I like taking care of people. I like solving problems for people. And when I can see that there is something such as in the senior care market at the time, I felt like, well, what can I do? I just didn't want to work. I, again, am a entrepreneur at heart, and I wanted to get in there and do it my way and see if I could make a difference.
That's wonderful. How did Promise Care come about?
Well, it came about in a very unusual way. And what I did is I was taking training, volunteer training, and I wanted to be a grief counselor, and it was for younger people. I had no idea about seniors. I hadn't worked with them. I didn't feel totally comfortable. I just didn't know that world, but I was thrown into volunteering for senior adults in a facility. And I decided that, wow, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. I felt they needed better. I felt they deserved better for what they have given the world and done in their lives. And that is how Promise Care in a nutshell came about.
And then how did you and Mark come together in this effort?
Mark, we probably have a little different story, but let's get his.
Yeah, so it may be a little bit. So we actually met in a networking group when Carrie actually just was getting her business off the ground. And as you've heard, I'm a serapreneur, so I owned another business at the time. And we became deeply involved in that networking group and really got to know each other then. And then Carrie, because her business was starting to really take off and infrastructure-wise, she had to spend more time in it. She left the group, but and I stayed on. And then when I ended up selling my other company, Carrie just happened to visit the day that we closed on the company. And I wasn't in my normal company uniform because I was notorious for being a bright colored guy in the room because of my company colors that I had and everything. She's like, what's going on? I said, well, sold my company. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I have no idea. It's just not even on my radar. She's like, well, let's go to lunch. And so then we went to lunch and I initially started doing some just consulting work. It was going to be a 3-month gig just to kind of look through processes. Like I said, that's my thing is where do you want to go? Let's talk about all the things to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. And ultimately we found out we were a really good combination. Our strengths really overlapped in a great way it multiplied, I think, both of our efforts. And Carrie gave me an offer I couldn't refuse to become a partner.
So it was serendipitous. She recruited you. But let's talk about this strengths and how they can complement each other. Because regardless of industry, sometimes in businesses, you have people, right, in leadership roles, but maybe they're strong in the same areas. And then so certain areas of the business get ignored or they're not optimized. So how is it that you guys are able to complement each other in the business that's led you to the success that you have?
Carrie, you want to take a first crack at it?
Well, I think, you know, we're both visionaries, but I am sort of a visionary without a purpose. You know, I'm always seeing things that I would like to do. Mark, on the other hand, looks at it in a way, you know, kind of in dollars and cents. How is this going to make sense? And I'm like, you're right. It's not. So we don't, you know, we don't argue. I think we trust each other. We trust each other's, you know, what we bring to the table and our expertise of, you know, what we both have. And I think we respect that. And, you know, we never really have gotten, you know, in arguments about anything. I mean, I think we're able to express what we really want to do and, you know, we go with it.
It sounds to me, right, there's this awareness first and foremost about what each person is strong in, the capabilities, skill set, but then also that trust factor of, okay, we know Mark is really skilled in this area. That's his area of expertise when it comes to business. So if he's chiming in on this matter from that perspective, then I'll trust that. And I'm sure Mark, you do the same with Carrie, right? Yep. I mean,
Yeah, no, my number one task, and I really do mean is chief interpreter of, okay, this is kind of something she's feeling pretty good about. Her intuition's usually really good. What she doesn't have that I have then is the questioning on how to get to the end result of it and helping her even crystallize that larger vision down to something that makes it more actionable. And so that's how I see our roles. It's and then we exchange ideas and sometimes we both come into it with different thought processes. And by the end, just through that, what I call highly respectful dialogue, we're able to come up with something towards the end of the conversation. Neither one of us would have came up by ourselves, and it's substantially better than either one of those as well.
Because you're both truly listening and respecting each other's perspectives. And I think, you know, there are the types of people, I'm more like you, Carrie, big ideas, right? All the passion in the world. But then we need people like Mark in the business who say, here are the steps. Here's the plan to make that big idea a reality. That's what I'm garnering from your guys's dynamic at Promise Care. So how do you feel that translates into the service to the elders in your territory, in your community, but also how does it translate to your staff and how they're cared for?
I think it's a good question, and it's one that I think hits home, and we live it almost every day. And so it starts with we came up with as a group of our values, right, which is integrity, collaborative communication, and humanity and grace. And and we have definitions with those values. And so every leadership meeting starts with those values, and we ask the question, how have we lived those values as a group last week? And then what are we going to do this week to live those values? And we talk through that, and those are action steps, such as our director of operations then, Joy, says, I think you should reach out to this caregiver because they did this. And I think you should send. So we're a big believer in video communication. So we don't just send an email. We send a video email, and we get really specific on that. We have Carrie is really big. And I agree 100% with this on the caregiver experience. And so we have conversations of what does that look like? So when a new caregiver joins our family, and we do call it a family, Carrie and I send a welcome video. And we hear constantly that folks don't ever get that from owners, and they don't get that. And yet it takes us 30 seconds. It's not a big deal to say, hey, Sarah, welcome to the family. We are so excited to have you here, and we look forward to hitting your insights after you've been with us, because we want to reach out to you in a few weeks and make sure we're meeting your expectations. And so it's, again, it's here's the vision. Carrie says, I really want the caregivers to have an experience. And I say, okay, well, let's break that down. What does that experience look like? And then what can we be doing on each one of those steps to get there?
That is beautiful, you guys. Carrie, so when you said video, I thought you meant it was a video you record. But what I'm hearing, Carrie, is that these videos, when you hire a new employee, whether it's administrative or care professional, mm-hmm. it is a personalized video specific to that
individual. It is. It is. And I really want them to feel like we're not the owners and they're the workers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about, you know, their experience. It's less about the bottom line. There's so many employees, I think that the owners are in one box and the employees are in another box. We are in it together. They're the backbone. They're the face of the company. And mm-hmm. I really want them to know that.
I think that so many independent caregiving agencies will talk about having this culture, right? They want this culture where the employees feel appreciated, that they're part of the family, but then how do you implement that? And so already based on what you've told me, right, reiterating those values and then asking, taking it a step further, not just restating the values, but asking the question, how are we living out these values? How will we continue? But then these videos, so you guys are establishing, you have the culture you want in mind, but you are making a concerted effort to continually support the culture that you want.
Yep.
Wow.
And it shows we've really worked hard at this. We have a third party company that does survey questions to our employees, and you know, they can be anonymous, it doesn't matter, or give their name. But what we're seeing is they are really, really appreciative of the communication, of the way that we make them feel like they are part of our family.
Are there other communication initiatives that you do internally to maintain this healthy culture of we are a family, we're all in this together, which is important because we know home care is already a tough industry, but with the pandemic, it's become even more stressful, right? So do you guys do these types of communication initiatives for other things?
Yeah, Kira, you want to go for that?
Well, for other things such as, clients.
Are you caregiver appreciation, you know, do you?
We do. We do a caregiver of the month. We do caregiver of the quarter, and they receive a bonus. So we also get on a Zoom call with them. Our director will meet with them wherever they're working. We present the award. Mark and I will get on and do a congratulations, you know, Zoom call with them. And so that's pretty exciting. It's really one of my favorite things because they don't know about it ahead of time and they are so happy. And then what we've done is we record it and then we've posted that on our website for other caregivers that are interested in the company to see.
You're living out, right? The we know that caregivers, part of their happiness, right, satisfaction and Home Care Pulse has done surveys, right. And you know, they've already showed through the data that it's not so much about the pay, right? It's this feeling of wanting to be respected.
Absolutely.
What do you think? So actually, I was going to ask another question, but I think this one is more pertinent to this topic. What is your advice for those independent home care agencies that like these ideas or your strategy in this area, but they feel like, well, I want to do it, but I'm too overwhelmed. I'm treading water. That takes time. I don't have the capacity right now. What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, well, it doesn't take as much time as you think. And what we've found is by making it part of our weekly leadership meeting, where it's an item on there of, you know, who's the team member of the month, who's the team member of the quarter. Let's, you know, set an action step to set up a Zoom meeting with that caregiver in the next week, you know, and it just doesn't take much time on there at all. And even, you know, we bonus or recognize caregivers who come to work on time, don't call off last second, all those type of things. And we do it by a point system. So if you're, you know, late, you get a half a point. And our goal is to have a caregiver at 5 points or less maximum. And there's other, if you're just, you know, a call off early without any, you know, any really notice, then it's more points. But by doing that, then we send out a video to those caregivers who met that saying, hey, congratulations, you're among an elite group of caregivers. And as a result, you're going to get a bonus. But more importantly, we know by doing this, you've impacted the life of a family member. And just again, relating their actions. And we talk about our values and how integrity, which is doing the right thing even when no one is watching you, and doing what you say you're going to do, and, you know, collaborative communication, all of that kind of stuff is all interwoven mm-hmm. in our communication.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think, you know, you spoke about Home Care Pulse. I think that's mm-hmm. a really good guide for people starting off in business, just to know, you know, to get an idea, you know, what caregivers are saying, what clients are saying, because the caregivers for sure are not going to probably come to us directly and tell us. It's a really right. good way for us to see what people are saying and how people are feeling and ways that we can improve. We're always trying to improve. It's not like we don't take it seriously. We really, really do.
Well, because improving internally in the organization, right, supporting the staff in this way is directly translates to the level of service that the elders and the community will receive, mm-hmm. you yep. know. Mark, what you were, and also, so you're talking about surveying the caregivers, mm-hmm. big fan of capturing that feedback, not only for the care professionals, existing clients too, because sometimes you're right, Carrie, they're not going to be proactive in sharing these issues. And so you guys as the owners are not aware until maybe it becomes not savable. But if you were proactively reaching out and requesting this feedback, it allows that opportunity to remedy an issue. Mm. So Mark, you were talking about these agencies that love what you guys are doing, but they feel like, well, I don't have the time. So it sounds your advice is systemize it, right?
That's correct. Yeah. In best mm-hmm. word. Yep.
Carrie, can you speak to what is the result? So it's yes, systemize it, do it. What's the end result?
Well, the end result is, I think, you know, there's no BS. It's there. It's black and white. You know, you can say you're doing something, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, people lie, but I'm just saying maybe it could be done better or in a different way. And with the systems, the way that they're set up, it's just like, that's all we have. We just have to look at, you know, what's being done. Of course, it's a big time saver as well.
Yeah.
Huge mm-hmm. time saver.
And it's not something that I think we can quantify by this. We have a huge percent of past caregivers that left for the right reasons, come back and reach out to us and we rehire them. And so to me, that is the ultimate impact for us, which is they're good caregivers. They already know us. They knew the system. Maybe it's schooling, schedule didn't work, you know, all different reasons, but the really good ones that left for great reasons, we have an extremely high percent to come back.
That is phenomenal. You had mentioned earlier, Mark, that when you guys are recognizing these caregivers, you know, somebody goes out to their location, but part of the messaging to them is tying it back mm-hmm. to the impact that they are having on the clients that yep. they serve. I don't see that happening enough in agencies. What made you guys know that it's important to do that, to be reminding them of just how important their role is and the impact that you're having?
Well, for me, it's just you have to know the whys, right? Why are you doing this? And when you do this, what impact does it have? And without that, you don't have ever any lasting change. So for it's just a natural thing. And I think Carrie's the same way on that. I don't know. Do you have another thought, Carrie, on that?
No, I mean, you know, I think when you really have a heart for your clients, you know, you want people that you hire to have that same kind of passion, that same kind of heart. Mm-hmm. And it's rewarding. I mean, there's a lot of rewards in it.
You know, I have seen over the years, it's communicated in the job posting, or it's communicated in the interview, orientation, training. But you guys are doing it on a regular basis. And for me, I feel like the way you guys are doing it, it creates them being invested in the larger mission, which is caring for the seniors, right? Yeah. That are in your service area, right? And understanding the importance of doing that. And so they're continually reminded of that. So they stay on board with the mission. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right on. I mean, on that, and it's setting up, Sarah, to your point, systems like doing video emails that are personalized is so simple because we have a program that attaches to our email, and we can record a video, and it automatically attaches to it. It's not even a second thought. You're not going through. If it was difficult, we wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How have you guys, you've survived, right, through COVID, and it's still going on. What are a couple of things you feel that has enabled you guys to weather this and stay in business and continue to serve at such a high level?
From my standpoint of view, and you'll get my background, I think we're really disciplined financially. We always had reserves that were well over 6 months of operation, and we stuck to that, in some cases more. And then we look at ratios. I mean, I'm an odd duck. I can be pretty good in marketing, but I know numbers pretty well. I know ratios. I look at them, and you know, there's no magic formula. 100% of the pie is 100%. And when your ratios start getting off, where is it coming from? And so I'm pretty good at that piece. And Carrie, to her credit, lets me be that piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think we've built up a good reputation.
Absolutely.
As well, most of our business comes from word of mouth. And, you know, we have been in business 16 years, but it's that constant, you know, the communication we've had with clients, the communication we've had with caregivers, you know, that all comes back to you, and just what it is that they want, figuring out what it is that's most important to them. And it comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Doing things the right way, right? That's pays right. off. Yep. Mark, what is your leadership philosophy?
Well, many and varies, but it really is let people be adults, make them part of the team and part of the overall conversation. So my big thing is I don't want anyone, whether it's a caregiver, team member, or admin, to check their brain at the door. We value their input. And Carrie and I both do. And so my philosophy is always about how do you, by working at our company, become a better person? Can we do to help you way past your time with Promise Care so that your life is more fulfilling? So it's all about growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about you, Carrie? What is your leadership philosophy?
Well, it's very much the same. I really am open to anybody coming forward and saying, you know, I have an idea. I'd love to hear more of that. Because I, as we said before, I don't want the owners in one box and all the caregivers and the team members in another box. I mean, I wanna work together. So I think it's something that, you know, I wanna be a leader, but then I don't wanna be a dictator.
Open communication, right? So right. That way you can have a better understanding and you know, what's working, what's not, and implement new ideas. There is nothing saying that a caregiver in an independent caregiving agency can't come up with a fantastic idea that is going to better the agency. Absolutely. Right.
You just have to be open to it. And, you know, and I really think we are. I think we're very, you know, we don't have, you know, any power, you know, we don't have big egos, I should say. So we're very open to hearing what other people have to say, that ways we can improve.
Yep.
So, Mark, you had talked about when you guys are hiring staff, whether it's administrative or caregivers, you are truly caring about them as an individual, what their goals are, even aside from working for Promise Care. How do you feel that that approach towards that individual benefits you guys? You'd already mentioned you have prior past caregivers that will leave for the right reasons and come back. So I think that that's one of the benefits
from your approach. That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. And then our reputation is as well, I think, continues. It goes outside the community. So maybe it's not even that caregiver, but maybe a friend of theirs or somebody else in a school they're going to hears about us and the experience. So, you know, and it's just for us, it's just the right thing to do. It's just it makes sense. And you'll look back, and Carrie and I both can look back on past experiences, go, you know what, I left for whatever reason, but man, that was really special.
So how do you go about implementing that strategy when you say, right, we're looking at this applicant as an individual person, we want to know what their goals are. Is that part of, do you have certain questions you ask?
Yeah, we do. We try to the best we can. We're not 100%, guys. There's no such thing as perfection here, right? But we try to reach out to those caregivers after a week or two and to actually have a Zoom conversation with them. And prior to that, keep in mind, they usually get a welcome video from us and an email from us, all those fun things too. So we try to reach out and get to know them and ask them, so what was it about our company that made you choose us? And, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? And so those are the kind of things we, and then it becomes just a free flowing dialogue based on some answers to those questions.
Carrie, do you have anything to add to that topic?
You know, I think too, it's if something happens to them, you know, they have a stroke of bad luck or anything, you know, we're always there to support that. You know, sometimes you hear a lot of different things, but you never know if it's right or if it's not. But, you know, I think we're always concerned about people, and we're there to support them.
Do you guys have any advice for fellow independent caregiving agencies around staffing, right? So we know that recruitment and retention has been a struggle, but I've been really noticing that there's not a lot of talk about the schedulers or the care coordinator, whatever title the agency gives this person. And, you know, there's been a lot of resources and attention on the caregivers, rightly so, right? But not a lot of talk about the overwhelm and the stress that the schedulers are feeling, because they are getting it from every angle, right? The clients, the caregivers, their manager. So how have you guys considered that person in your agency? And is there anything specific you've done to support that role?
You know, we reach out and we have conversations with them, and we, you know, we listen. Sometimes we don't have a solution. I'm not so certain there's a solution to a epidemic of shortage of caregivers. So you try to do the best you can, treat them as fairly as you do with the caregivers. And, you know, then it helps if you have somebody who is compassionate and passionate about trying to be a resource for the caregivers as well as for our company. And, you know, Carrie, anything that you...
Well, the only thing that I would say is that that person doesn't feel like they're on an island by themselves.
Right.
They have a backup. They have someone else they can bounce ideas off of. And I think, you know, that's the way it's set up in our company is I think it's important that they have that other person, kind of a support person. I mean, not that they're going to solve the problems, but that's at least there's somebody they can bounce ideas off of and discuss.
Right.
And we'll, and then sometimes it gets, you know, it comes into our meetings and we talk about it and figure out solutions.
There's this, so making sure they don't feel alone on the island, that mm-hmm. is, that's profound, because I'm finding many in that role do feel that way. Right.
Yep.
And their job is hard. I mean, it takes a special person to do that job as well.
Yes,
it's like
does.
Taking a puzzle apart, putting it back together 100 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, yeah, that's super important. Another idea that I've been tossing around, so maybe, you know, we can discuss it real briefly on this. So I have a belief that everybody in a company, regardless of what their actual role is a salesperson, right? You're representing the organization. Just like a marketer goes out and has to develop the relationship with the referral source and, you know, have that referral source trust them to send a referral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, our schedulers in an agency, right? Are they not having to overcome those barriers or sell the caregiver on accepting a client or accepting a shift? You know, sometimes those last minute shifts when there's been a call off. So,
yep.
You know, I think that it would be wise, right, for agencies to begin developing some sort of form or training to help those schedulers overcome those barriers that come up, those excuses, right?
Right.
Well, yep. We do give them the flexibility to, if they have to offer a little more hourly to incentivize someone, they don't have to come back and get permission. They're able to do that. Or if it's going to be, or if it's something, it's going to go into overtime. They know that there's a certain percentage of overtime that, you know, we can easily handle and we wouldn't question. So they can feel free.
You're trusting them. It goes back to what Mark said. Everybody's an adult. And so you are empowering your staff.
Yeah. Give them the boundaries that we'd like to stay within. And there's, you know, obviously boundaries, but there's a lot of leeway. And so within there, make the decision that's best for the caregiver and for the client. You've got enough of a leeway there that you can do that. And in the beginning, when we implemented that about 3 or 4 years back, we're like, oh, I'm sorry for the overtime. I said, last time I checked, you were well within parameters. Why are we even talking about overtime? And it wasn't until a few times that we got that conversation that just stopped coming up. It just, because they're like, oh, I can do this and it's not an issue. Or if they offered an extra dollar an hour as an incentive. Last time I checked, we said, listen, you've got within this range. If it's over that and you think that's what we need to do, then we just need to have a conversation. But candid truth is, the way we said it, it's never happened. We've never had to have a conversation on it.
And the positive impact for that employee in raising their confidence level, they're being treated like a professional. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the benefits are enormous by taking that approach with them,
right?
And trusting them to do their role. So it's been a couple of years of increased stress. What do each of you do personally, right, for stress management and to try to have as much work-life balance as possible?
Yeah. Well, Carrie, you want to take that first or me? I'm pretty anal about this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you start?
So I have a pretty strict routine, and I have had for years, but, you know, I meditate consistently daily, 20 to 30 minutes a day. I do exercise, physical exercise, anything from walking to weights to yoga, breathing exercises, reading. I mean, so I have a routine literally every day usually even on weekends, an hour to an hour and a half in the morning. That's what I do. It's my time.
Mm-hmm. So I have some questions about that. I'll come back to you. Yeah. I just had a meeting yesterday and that was the topic of discussion. Mm-hmm. Perry, what do you do to take care of yourself so that way you can continue to take care of your organization and the people in it and that you serve?
Well, exercise is important to me. And this is my year to do more meditation. And I do a lot of reading. But I think one of the most important things is socializing. So I have a lot of friends in businesses, not like this, but doesn't matter. I mean, all different types of businesses. And I think getting together, discussing different parts of our business, you know, and then having social time is really important to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a reprieve, right? From
it is
the overwhelm, it's the self-care. So, you know, I talk to a lot of owners, and there seems to be this survival, and I can understand completely why. And so many want to start implementing these acts of self-care for themselves, but they feel like, well, I blocked it off on my calendar, but there's this fire I have to put out now. I really don't have time. What is your advice to them on basically just do it and make it a priority?
It's a habit. Start small. You know, even a 5-minute time to reflect and meditate every morning, and do it earlier versus later. I know there's the early morning people and late night people and all of that, but the fact is, if you really are honest with yourself, even for the late night people, once the day gets started, good luck in carving out time. Then that's when the emergencies. There's certain times, you know, again, I get up at 5 in the morning. Yeah, usually on emergencies on 5 in the morning or 6 for that matter in most cases. So it already sets me up for success because I'm not having to deal with an emergency. And then, of course, you drop things and be forgiving. Know that there's going to be days you just don't. But it's about doing it 80% of the time and not mm-hmm. knocking yourself out the other 20% that for whatever reason you don't. And before you know it, it's just part of your routine. Yeah, it's like brushing your teeth or anything else.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Carrie? What's your advice and the impact that it has on you?
Well, I think what's important is to, the night before, you know, sit down, do some journaling, and then plan the day, the following day. So you're not getting up in the morning, you know, on the run and not really thinking about where you're going. So I think if you can start the habit of writing these things down, not just knowing what's on your calendar, that's one thing, but also planning for those additional things that you may want to accomplish and to know and to write it down the night before when you're able to think about that mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
Do you guys feel, this was part of the discussion yesterday with my friend, he's very focused on human behavior, stress management, self-care, right? Mm-hmm. So we can show up as our best selves to serve others. Mm-hmm. And we got into a discussion about everybody thinks and everybody's talking about these executives, right? People that are in administrative roles. But do our caregivers in agencies not have life stressors, right? And perhaps maybe, you know, independent home care agencies from across the nation doesn't have to be super robust or expensive, but start pushing out some education to them on stress management techniques, breathing, the importance of it, you know? So that way we elevate the entire agency to be more healthy.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
And, you know, I've often thought, you know, trying to find the best approach to do that so that it doesn't come as, oh, you got to do this. I'm doing the latest craze, but more of an informative way. You know, and Carrie's big on us trying to do value added to our caregivers with announcements of certain things. And I think that could be a real helpful, especially for them. They just may not have had the exposure to those type of opportunities. And I think it's finding the best way so that it doesn't come off preachy and then becomes more of a, maybe I'll look at this type.
Informative, caring, micro videos. You guys are already doing it, right? A micro video talking about, right, stress management techniques or the impact that it has. Mm-hmm. We'll have to talk.
It could be very low cost. I mean, there are so many things that you can do right now that cost nothing or very low cost.
Yeah, very little.
So I think it's good to know. It's good to relay that.
I think that for many people, right, and even personally, I'll share something I've struggled with. It's almost like people have to, our caregivers have to give themselves permission to take a break and do that self-care. And so, you know, if the employer, because there might not be anybody else in their life who is encouraging that for them, right? So if the employer can be that person encouraging, it's okay to, you know, take some time for yourself. And here are some ideas of self-care.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the other programs we have, it's kind of goes under that heading, but we do pay for a certain amount of hours for our caregivers to volunteer.
Really? Mm-hmm. How did you guys decide to do that, Carrie? And how have you implemented that?
Well, we decided to do it, I think, because just knowing that they're givers anyway, and it's, you know, it's just a way, I think, to be able to give back. So that was something, you know, we haven't really, that we talked about prior to COVID. Now with COVID, of course, a lot of that was stopped, but it's something now that I would love to, you know, bring up again.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So you guys were doing it and then COVID came about.
It's one of our benefits. Yes.
Yep.
What is the feedback that you've received over the years from having that as part of your organization?
You know, initially, when people hear about that, it's great. And I think for us, our job is going to be to bring better and more awareness to it, because very, very seldom is it taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Education. Well, that's the same thing with employee assistance programs, right? Yep. At IHCA, we have an EAP that members can benefit from, right? Mm-hmm. We've negotiated it, but you know, we've learned, and this is how we advise our members, is that you can have it very affordable, but what is going to be the adoption rate? Well, the adoption rate comes down to making sure that you're constantly letting, I don't mean constantly, like every
it
day,
is, almost,
making sure that they know about it and that you're reminded of it.
So true.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's because they may miss it the first time. They may miss it the second time, but you have to keep putting it out there. And that's what we've kind of come to that conclusion with other things we're doing, that it just has to be a reminder all the time.
Yep.
And for the administrative staff, right, the schedulers, everybody who is interacting with those caregivers, to remember as well that, okay, if this caregiver mentioned to me that they're going through a life situation, let's say it's a divorce and custody issues, just for our example. For that scheduler, let's say, who is having that conversation with the caregiver, to remember, we have this EAP, you know, let's call this resource right now, Ms. Caregiver, right? And so the connection to the resources. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's wonderful the way you guys are operating. I know that we have met before, but we never have discussed these areas of your business until just now. So I'm super impressed, and I really hope that everybody in the audience sees the value in how you guys are doing things. And, you know, if they want to attempt implementing it, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I'm sure Mark and Carrie would be open to having a conversation.
Absolutely.
Mark and Carrie, if you don't mind, for the audience, please remind them what geographic area that you are serving. Then also how they can get in touch with you should they either be a referral source and want to have a partnership, should they be somebody looking for a caregiver position, or maybe it's an adult child that really needs to start exploring care options for their loved one in your area.
Yeah. So we serve the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area in Minnesota, and our primary focus is on the Southwest Metro of Minneapolis. at this point. And if you'd like to reach out to me, you can email me at Mark, M-A-R-K, at promisecareinc.com.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Carrie.
And I am.
Carrie's Carrie.
Yeah, C-A-R-E-Y at promisecareinc.com.
Awesome.
Look at our website. Yep. And, you know, we will take, you know, if anybody's interested, there's a place to, you know, I mean, there's a careers page. You know, if there's an interested potential client, you can email us through there as well.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you guys being our guests for the IHCA Member Moments today. Thank you. You're very welcome. For the audience, as a reminder, my name is Sarah Barker. I represent the Independent Home Care Alliance. We are an organization that is bringing independent non-franchise caregiving agencies together to raise a national voice, to create a concerted focus on independence, the struggles they face, and also to provide solutions that is going to empower them to continue scaling their businesses and to heighten the level of service to the seniors in their communities. If you'd like to learn more about membership in the Independent Home Care Alliance, you can go to www.indhca.org. Thank you for being with us today.